All of the mitzvahs in the Torah are interconnected. Some of the best ra'ayos for this can be found, let's say, in the seventh parak of Maseches Shabbos, where the Tosfos HaRosh has a Hava Amina that if a person is a Tinuk Shenishba, if he was captured and he did not know about his Jewish identity, and he did not know about what the mitzvahs were, he transgressed the entire Torah, the Tosfos HaRosh has a Hava Amina that he should be chayiv only one Karban Chatas for the entire Torah. Because, in a sense, the entire Torah, well, the mitzvahs, will go back to one central point, one central nekuda, and that is obeying the Ratzon Hashem. The Torah is a gilui. It reveals to us what the Ratzon Hashem is. The essence of all mitzvahs are that they are the Ratzon Hashem. The essence of all averos is that they're against the Ratzon Hashem. That binds together all the mitzvahs in the Torah. That's why there's a havam, you know, that you should be chayv only one carbon chatos, even for all of the averos in the Torah. The maskana, we don't see it that way, but the havam, you know, reveals that there is such a concept within Yiddishkeit and within the Torah. A second example, mashal, let's say, is mitzvos derabanan. Pashtos, by mitzvos derabanan, that every single thing that the Rabbanon said, whether it's the Rabbanon said a mitzvah the Rabbanon about Pesach, or a mitzvah the Rabbanon about Arayos, or a mitzvah the Rabbanon about Machalos Asuros, all of the mitzvahs the Rabbanon are all obligatory or forbidden to us because of one pasuk. It says, Lo Sasur min adavar asher yagidu l'cho yamin u'smol. That pasuk of Lo Tasur is the makar of all mitzvahs the Rabbanon. And in the same way, the idea that the Ratzon Hashem is the makar of all of the mitzvahs d'oraisa. In a similar vein, the Joshes Haran and the Behag hold that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is not a mitzvah, it's the prerequisite for all mitzvahs. Because essentially, if a person doesn't accept Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then he's not going to accept any of the mitzvos. And if he accepts Anochi Hashem Elokecha, only then can he accept all of the mitzvos. So in a sense, all of the mitzvos are united as in funneling and channeling back to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which the zeroth mitzvah, the prerequisite for all the mitzvos. There should be other examples also about the fundamental unity of all of the mitzvos asay and all of the mitzvos lois asay in the entire Torah. Fundamentally, they're all one. And part of this is what allows for there to be connections and seiruf between different mitzvos. The idea that there's a fundamental unity between all of them. And on the other hand, there's also obviously a distinction between mitzvos and within mitzvos. Obviously, lamaskana, we say that a katan tinek shenishba, who is over on the entire Torah, does not bring only one carbon chatas. He brings a number of carbonized chatas, which are equivalent to the lavim that he violated. In the same way, there's much more evidence for the non-relatedness of mitzvahs to one another than there is for the interconnectedness of mitzvahs to one another. And this is nogeya to us because of the identity of a lav shebichlalois. A lav shebichlalois is a set of mitzvahs, a set of mandatory actions or forbidden actions, which in some ways are interrelated and in other ways are not interrelated. They could be interrelated because they have some sort of a conceptual affinity for one another. In other words, that you can have a lav, and that lav forbids us a certain abstract or general category of actions, and that category of actions has a number of specifics. So, for example, the Torah tells us that we shouldn't violate the Shabbos, and then there are a large number of specific actions which fall under that category, and they're violations of the Shabbos. But in that sense, all of the specific actions, in many ways, fundamentally, are a single entity, and therefore we would not, and they have an affinity for one another, and therefore we can learn them all out from one lav. The Torah says that there are certain things that a nazir is not supposed to eat. He's not supposed to eat anything that's a product of a grape. So all of those things, in a sense, they have an affinity for one another because they're all products of the grape, but in a different sense, they're different because this one is wine, and that one is grape juice, and this one is the grape skins, and that one is the inside of the grape, and that one is the pits. So a lot of different things, but they all come under the category of grape products. For similarly, let's say the Torah tells us that a Korban Pesach should not be eaten raw, and a Korban Pesach should not be eaten, it shouldn't be eaten boiled, it should only be eaten roasted in a particular fashion. So on the one hand, raw and boiled are bound in common by the fact that they are not roasted, and on the other hand, they're different because they're different forms of cooking. So within these things, there's a certain affinity, just logically, in terms of how to categorize and from what perspective to view these actions. Do we view them as being on the same list? Do we view them as being on two different lists? It depends on the extent to which you're willing to generalize the identity of these actions that are either mandatory or forbidden. So that's one way in which one can judge the tseruf, or lack thereof, between certain mitzvahs asei or mitzvahs lois asei, or between certain actions which are mandatory and actions which are forbidden. One can judge it in terms of the level of generalization that one is willing to adapt when taking a perspective on these mitzvahs. And another level that a person can look at these things is in terms of the way that the Torah formulated them, totally independently of formulating a perspective based on the characteristics that are shared in common or lack thereof between these actions. One can look at them based on how the Torah treated these different actions. So, for example, when it comes to Nazir, the Torah says, "Mikol asher ye'asim migefen hayayin mechatzanim be'adzag lo yoichel." So the Torah, at the first, it has only one loy, only one azhara for all of these things. And the Torah also said it defined them as kol asher ye'asim migefen hayayin, everything that's made out of grapevines. But on the other hand, the Torah then specified and said mechatzanim be'adzag. So the Torah includes both a klal and it also includes two pratim. So we have to know, we're not dealing in terms of abstract characteristics which contribute to an affinity or a distance between these actions, but now we're dealing with the way that the Torah formulated it. Do we say that the fact that the Torah included it in one lab, and that the Torah gave us the general heading for this category, that indicates that there's a strong level of tseruf between them? Or do we say that no, the fact that the Torah separated and specified chatzanim and zagim, that indicates that we should view these two products of a grape essentially more as individual and independent entities? So this is part of the discussion about a lav shebichlalos. Essentially, viewing mitzvahs as separate can be both more likely to cause malchus and less likely to cause malchus in the following way. On the one hand, let's say that we have many different mitzvahs and we look at them as independent, separate actions. So if that's the case, then each one should require its own azhara. And if between them they share only one azhara, and none of them can be viewed as a primary or more general heading than the others, so then none of them will get malchus. And that's the idea of a lav shebichlalos. We say lo yisoichlu al adam. You're not supposed to, we don't really know what it means. There's six different interpretations, all of which are paskin lahalacha. You're not supposed to eat before shachris. Beis din is not supposed to eat on the day that they've convicted somebody to death. The relatives of the criminal are not supposed to eat. You're not supposed to eat from kodshim lefnei zvikas adam. There's a lot of different halachas that we learn out from lo yisoichlu al adam. None of them can be viewed as a primary interpretation of this pasuk as opposed to all the other ones. So therefore, we don't know whether the azhara is coming for this one, whether the azhara is coming for that one. So we say the azhara is coming for none of them because they're not related. There's no general category, general heading which can encompass all of these independent halachas that we derive from this pasuk on the one hand. And on the other hand, there's only one azhara shared between all of them. So therefore, that's a lav shebichlalos that doesn't get any malchus whatsoever, because the lack of affinity, the independence of these mitzvahs or these actions from one another, causes, based on the midas shatarin adreshes, but it causes that there should be no malchus whatsoever for any of these actions. On the other hand, when it comes, let's say, to to a Nazir eating grape products or to eating a carbon Pesach being Naum Mevushal. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara in Pesachim and in Bava Metzia, and it also turns into, in the Rishonim, a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. And essentially, the Ramban argues, and he claims that this reflects the Shita of Rava, or at least the Shita of the Stam HaGemara, that the very fact that the Torah seems to treat these Chartzanim and Zogim, or No, and Bashal Mevushal Bamayim, as being separate, independent entities, and does not suffice by simply saying don't eat any grape products, and does not suffice by simply saying don't eat anything which is not roasted. So that indicates that they're really independent, and therefore that the Azhara can be sufficient for each of them independently. It's as if the Torah says Loi Toichlu Na and Loi Toichlu Bashal Mevushal Bamayim, and you can get therefore two Malkiyos, and maybe it even counts as two mitzvahs. So the Ramban says that being independent in some ways can actually contribute to more Malkiyos, and obviously this only works because they have some affinity to one another. They're in a sense independent, and in a sense they're interconnected. So the interconnectedness allows the single Azhara to function for both of them, but the independence allows you to get a separate Malkos for each of them. The Rambam, on the other hand, says that it's not true, that one Azhara can only suffice for one set of Malkos, and therefore you would get one set of Malkos even if a person ate one from part of the Karban Pesach boiled and part of the Karban Pesach Yeruah. He would still only get one set of Malkos, because even though the Torah specified, we ignore the fact that the Torah specified, we treat it as if there was only a single lav, and that lav is don't eat it in any other way than sli'esh, in any other way than if it's roasted. So that's the Shitas HaRambam. He says that there's only one for each of them. And then there's other Shitas that say, no, even in that case, even in a case where there's some components which are interrelated and other components which are independent, there would still be no Malkus at all, because it's not similar to Chasima. The Torah says, Laisachsim Sharbadisha, that's the paradigm for most Hilchois Malkus. That's a lav which is purely, it's unique, it's singular, it's simple, it's independent of any other actions. It's just Leisachsim Sharbadishai. So any lav which is dissimilar to Leisachsim Sharbadishai, a lav which the Torah formulated as both a generality and the specifics, that's not going to be doimed to the original lav, and it won't get Malkus. This is just part of the discussion that informs lav Shebechlalois. In other places, it's more time to be marich about it.